Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. John 6, as we begin a brief study on security and assurance. Now, security, of course, is dealing with salvation. And the question really is, are we secure? When you trust Christ as Savior, will you go to heaven? And let me put it this way. Will you go to heaven no matter what? Okay? And then second, are we assured? Does the Bible teach us that we can have assurance of salvation, that when we do trust Jesus, we can be for sure that we're going? This morning we're going to look briefly at this topic. It's going to take us about 2 to 3 weeks. It'll take us up to spring break, and then we'll start a different subject after we come back from the break, okay? Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that has come. Lord, I just thank you for the singing and thank you for the fun time that we have in this class. Lord, we ask you that as we look through the truths of security and assurance and those kind of things, that you might teach us and show us and that we can feel confident and that we can know what the Word of God has to say. Lord, we ask you to take over now and teach us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at John chapter 6. Jesus is speaking to the crowd near the Sea of Galilee. Look what he says. We're just going to look at one verse right here. Chapter 6, verse 47. Look what Jesus says. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." Now, truly comes from the Greek word amen, comes from the Hebrew word amen, which means truth. So when you say amen, you're saying it's true. And so he says, "True, true, I say to you, he who believes," and of course in the context, he's already talked about that he is the one who's come down from heaven. In fact, he told him that he was in heaven and he came down from heaven. And he's saying, "He who believes," and talking about believing in him, "has eternal life." That's life that is forever with Christ. Life forever with God. I mean, here's the truth, and I want you to understand this. Everybody lives forever. When you see the term in the Bible, eternal life, it doesn't just mean that you're going to live forever, because everybody lives forever. There'll be some people who have never put their faith in Jesus. They'll be raised from the dead to live eternally separated from God. That's called the second death. There'll be others who have put their faith in Jesus. They'll be raised from the dead to live forever with Jesus Christ, and that's called eternal life. And so when we talk about eternal life, Jesus says, "He who believes has eternal life." I want you to notice it doesn't say will have eternal life. It says you have it, and you have it right now. The way it's written in the Greek is, the moment you believe, right then, you have eternal life. Turn back in your Bible, back probably one page if your Bible's like mine, to John chapter 5, maybe two pages. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." He says, the one who hears the message, that's the message of salvation, and believes, has eternal life. There's no judgment, no condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Jesus states that if you believe in him, you have eternal life. There's no condemnation. Now, for most of you in this room, or for many of you in this room, you have no problem with that. Most of you have been brought up, or when you study the Bible, what you've been taught in your life is that when you trust Jesus, you're saved forever. But there are some who've never heard that. There are some who've actually been taught just the opposite. And there are some who have heard that and wish they could believe that. You mean to tell me I can really know for sure that when I die and go to heaven, I know I've trusted in Jesus, but you're telling me that I can be for sure that there's not going to be something happen along the way and I won't lose it? You're saying that I can be sure? And then there are some, and there are many that you and I will come be in contact with, especially a lot of you, not only on campus, but in our work, that you're going to come in contact with those who don't know it, don't understand it, and don't believe it. So the purpose of our study is to show what the Bible has to say about security and about assurance, and we'll see those kind of things. For the next few weeks, we're going to deal with this, and I hope that you'll have questions, you'll have comments. It'll be sort of an interaction thing, okay? I'm going to raise some questions for you every now and then, and we'll talk about them, and then when we come to something that maybe you've not heard it before, or maybe you've not heard it that way, or maybe you don't understand it, be sure and let me know, okay? Because that's what we want to do. We want to make sure you understand what the Bible says on this. About a year and a half ago, we did a study in this class. Many of you may not have been there. Some of you were. We did a study on what I call the hard passages. It may have been at the very first of the school year. I can't remember when we did it. But I took about 7 or 8 passages that are very difficult. In fact, most of them are the ones that look like you can lose your salvation. And we did that study. So this study to the next couple is not about those hard passages. If you have a question like, well, what about Hebrews 6? What about Hebrews 10? What about some of these other verses? Well, number one, I can get with you individually. there may be time that I can talk about them in this class, or you can go to the library in our tape ministry, and you can get that study. It's already recorded, okay? The hard passages. Let's begin. I want you to look at the outline, okay? This is how we're going to do our study. If you didn't get an outline, there's some right over there. I hope everybody got one. I think they were handed out, but if not, look at somebody else's real quickly. We start off with the introduction. That's what we're in now. And then we're going to look at the importance of security and assurance, and we see it affects stability. It affects our service. So we're going to see why is security and assurance so important. Then we'll look at them and we'll contrast them. That's what we've got right up here. And we're also going to see four different views, and I'll show you how that fits together. And then, and this all may be this morning if we go fast enough. If not, it'll take next week. Then we're going to look at issues in security and assurance. And here's two key things. One is the whole idea of eternal life. And the second one is grace and works contrasted. We'll see how that fits together. Then the last thing we'll dig into is the areas concerning security and where is it that we go to actually understand our security. We go to God's Word, we go to God's character, and we go really to God, the Holy Spirit, and we'll see how that fits together. And then finally, we'll have a summary which will sort of put it together. So I hope that this will be a fun study. I think it's going to be a very beneficial study, but we want them to be beneficial and fun. That's why we want to do it that way. Let's do this. Let's begin by raising some questions, okay? Once a person trusts in Jesus, and I'm not talking about whether when a person actually understands that Jesus died on the cross and paid for their sins, and they trust Him as their Savior. They believe He died for them. Is this person going to go to heaven no matter what? Is he eternal secure? Is there security for the believer no matter what he does? What if, I'm going to raise some questions, what if 5 years down the road he says, I don't even believe in Jesus anymore? What if you're a friend of this person's and they tell you they've trusted Christ and you've known them for 3 or 4 years, but you might say to yourself, I don't know if they're a Christian or not because I've never seen any fruit in their lives. When a person puts their faith in Christ and trusts Him as Savior, and the Bible says things like being born again and all those kind of things, is that person secure? We'll see. We're going to dig into the scriptures. We're going to see the security of the believer. Now, there's disagreement. There are a lot of people who will tell you that when you trust in Jesus, you can lose your salvation. Is that true? We'll see on that as well. It's very important that we study this because if you look at your handout, the importance of the security and assurance because it affects us the way we live right now. You may not think about that. You may say, what difference does it make whether Joe really believes, I mean, he's trusted in Christ. What difference does it make whether he really understands that he can't lose his salvation or not? Well, it affects two different areas, and if you see on the handout I've got for you, it affects the area of stability and the area of service. It affects our stability because a person who doesn't understand the security that he has, usually they're very unstable as far as their faith. If things are going good, they're rolling, and they're telling you how wonderful life is. If things are going bad, they're beginning to doubt, and they're wondering, did they do something and somehow God has cut them off? Did they do something and now they're not going to heaven? And so they're up and down. And so people who are not, in a sense, secure, in that sense, they don't understand it, they're up and down, instability. The second thing it does, and you've heard me teach this before, is that it affects the motive for service. To a person who is wondering, what do they have to do to hang on to what they got? They're serving God, in a sense, out of fear. I've got to make sure I do this. I've got to make sure I go to church. I've got to make sure I do this. I've got to make sure I give this. Because, see, I don't want to lose it. I want to make sure I do the things God wants me to do because I don't want to take the chance that I can lose my salvation. And see, they serve out of fear, holding on to what they got. Now, a person who understands, who is assured and understands their security, we're not serving out of fear to hang on to what we have. We're serving out of love because what He has already done for us. He has said to you, you're my child. I give you eternal life. You shall never perish. Our service is not to, don't let me lose it now. No, it's, thank you for all you've done. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a very powerful passage. In fact, the whole passage, although dealing with a lot of different things, starts and ends with the same thought. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He starts by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, to be in Christ Jesus means you put your faith in Him. When you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible talks about you're being placed in the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And so we're placed in Christ. It says, to those who are in Christ, there is now no condemnation. Some Bibles translate the word condemnation, their judgment. You could even translate it, there is no separation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul writes and says, if you've put your faith in Christ, there is no possibility of separation, no condemnation, no fact that you're going to be away from God in the sense that he's going to reject you. And as that passage goes on all the way to the end, look at chapter 8, verse 31. He talks about God and everything that he's done and all of these great things. And he goes on to say in verse 31, well, what should we say to all these great things? Well, if God's for us, who can be against us? The old saying used to be that you've got God on your side, you've got the majority. It doesn't matter how many, because God's the majority. And if God's on your side, if God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not give us freely all things? Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It's not God. He's the one that justified. Well, who's the one that's going to condemn us? Well, it's not Christ. He's the one that died and rose again. Verse 35, what or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything that can separate you from Christ? He says, well, let's try a few. Tribulation? Nah. Distress, persecution, famine, no clothes, peril, sword. No, it's just written. We've been put to death all day long. But in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm convinced, says Paul in verse 38, that neither death, dying, or living, or angels, or principalities, or things present, or things to come, or powers, or heights, or death, or anything, any other created thing, nothing should be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you. Is that a great verse? Is that a great passage? People say, you mean to tell me if you put your faith in Jesus, you go to heaven no matter what? No, because see, you can do this. No. You can do it, but that's not going to separate you. Well, you can do that. No, you can do that, but that's not going to separate you. Can you name anything that'll separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus?
What about denying Christ?
Okay. Would you mean by that rejecting him as your Savior?
Yes.
Well, that's what determines whether a person is separated or not. And we're talking about a person who has already accepted Christ as Savior. You're right. What separates people from God forever is because they reject Jesus Christ as Savior.
What should they do after? I mean, if they sincerely accept Christ, and have a change of heart and just say, man, I really don't believe in it.
Okay, we're going to get to a verse. Let me just go ahead and give you something to think about. 2 Timothy basically says this: even when you believe that Jesus died for you and paid for your sins and you trust him, and then you come back later and you quit believing, you know what it says? It says he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. It says even if you, and it literally in the Greek says, even if you're unbelieving. Now you might say to yourself, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I can trust in Jesus as my Savior on Thursday and on Saturday change my mind? I know I trusted him on Thursday and I really believe that he was my Savior, but I'm going to quit believing that. In fact, I'm going to go the rest of my life, I'm going to do my own thing from now on. And I'm still saved? Are you? You know why? Who does it depend on? You or God? Who's the faithful one? Does God say, yeah, you'll be my child if you hang in there, if you remain faithful, if you don't mess up, if you keep believing, all of these little... No, it's either grace or it's not. We're going to get to that on that chart. So, Tommy, we'll come to that in a little bit. In fact, that'll be most likely. Those verses will be when we get down to where it says God's character. Okay? What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? You know what the answer is? There's not one thing can ever separate us. If you put your faith in Jesus, he says, I give you what? Eternal life. When? When does he give it to you? Right then. You have it right then. Now, let me ask you something. Did he say, now, if you hang in there, you'll keep it? If not, in fact, that's going to take us to something we'll get at in just a minute. Let me raise this question. Is it possible to lose our relationship with God once we trust Christ as Savior? Relationship. No, because what is your relationship? You're a child of God. You've been born again. And all that received him to him gave the authority to become children of God. Amen. To be in Christ is a new creation. Is it possible to lose your fellowship with God? Yeah. but not your relationship. So we're going to look at the difference quickly between security and assurance, okay? I want you to understand that they're not the same, although people say, well, aren't you you're sure that you're going to heaven, aren't you? Don't you understand you're secure? And there's two different things. There is eternal security and personal assurance. They're very similar, but they're different. Now, here's the contrast. I want you to think about this. When you put your faith in Christ as your Savior, you are secure. That's a fact. Nothing can separate you. Assurance is an experience. You have to personally assure yourself, or you have to be assured that nothing can separate you. Okay, but it's a fact, whether you experience it or not, it's a fact. Second, every believer has security, but not every believer has assurance. I know people who put their faith in Christ, and you said you're going to heaven, they'd say, gee, I hope so. See, there's a difference. Third, this security is dependent on God's faithfulness, and He is always faithful. That's His character. This assurance is dependent on my understanding of God's faithfulness. And then finally, I hope you can all see it. This one's not based on feelings or anything. It's really based on the Word, and we'll come to that later. This is based on my faith and my understanding of God's Word. And what it boils down to is this, that when I trust Christ as my Savior, I'm secure. It's all based on God. Now, whether I am assured of that is based on how I understand what God says. If I don't understand the character of God, I might think that He'll kick me out, because I don't understand His character. I'll give you a few minutes to write that up. Anybody have any questions on this? Okay, this is something I wanted to go through fast. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it, but any questions or comments? I just want to show you the contrast between the security and the assurance. One is based on what all God does. This is based basically on your understanding of what God does. Okay, questions, comments, anything? Okay, I'll give you just a second more to write it. If you want to. You can have the rest of the time to write it, because I'm not going to have anything else up there, so if you want to. Now, think about this with me for just a second. Charles Ryrie gives an example. There are two people on death row, and the governor gets the word, and they're supposed to be put to death, but he sends word, and he says, I think I'll pardon both of them. Well, the word comes in there, and a guy comes in and says, hey, I got good news for you guys. The governor just pardons you. One guy goes, hot dog, I'm out of here, you know. Other guy goes, no, he didn't pardon me. No, he didn't. I don't believe he did. One guy's all happy, jumping up and down and saying, yes, he did. Don't you believe that? He said, no. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. Now, the truth is, they're both pardoned. One of them has experienced it. One of them is assured of his pardon because he believes the message. Another one is not assured. He said, the governor never pardoned me. Now, the truth is, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He gives you eternal life. You'll never perish. You'll never be separated. Now, there are many believers that go, hot dog. This is great. I'm going to heaven no matter what, because it's based on God. It's not based on me. But there are some who are just as secure who say, gee, I hope so, because, you know, I mean, I don't feel anything. I really don't feel anything, and, you know, I don't understand all this anyway. So you see the difference. One is based basically on the facts. Other is based on the experience. Now, I hope every one of you are assured of the fact, if you put your faith in, let me say it that way, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are secure, and I hope every one of you are assured of that because of your understanding of the Word of God. Let me give you four different levels before we get into these things that I really want to hit on today, the thing about eternal life and grace and works. But there are really four different levels of, you might say, people you're going to come in contact with. There are some who think they're going to heaven, and they're not. Now, that sounds funny, but that's me before I became a believer. At age 18 or 19, if you'd have come up to me and you'd have said, JB, are you going to heaven? I'd have said, yeah. Why? And God said, well, because I've been good. I've been more good than bad. Now, the truth is, that person is not secure. They don't even know it. So there's some who think they're secure, and they're not. Then there's some who are not secure, and they know it. Just people you've talked to, and you say, you think you're going to heaven? No, I'm not. How come? Oh, I'm not good enough. Listen, I talked to a guy who came up here Friday afternoon. Talked to him for about 40 minutes. And we would talk about the love of God, and he would say, yeah, but see, you don't know how bad I am. I said, oh, yeah, I know how bad you are. Because I know how bad I am. And we talked for a long time, and he kept saying that he wasn't good enough to go to heaven. I said, you're exactly right. Don't worry about that. Jesus came to save the people who aren't good. He said, well, I killed somebody one time. Well, I was in the army, and the army told me to kill him and say, I took a life, so I'm not going to ever be able to go to God. I said, let me ask you something. That's what the Ten Commandments, he kept telling me, I broke one of the Ten Commandments. I said, no, you didn't break one of the Ten Commandments. You broke all of them. He said, yeah, and you know the famous saying, when you get to the guy and you give the gospel and you share all your faith and all that stuff, and you finally say to him, is there anything stopping you from trusting Christ right now? You know what he said? He said, yeah, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And you know what I said to him? You're already a hypocrite. I said, you ever say, he said, I am not. I said, you ever said something and did just the opposite? He said, yeah. I said, you're a hypocrite. I said, won't you be a saved hypocrite? He didn't trust Christ, by the way. He walked up that sidewalk and down the street and saying to me, I'll think, I gave him trash, I gave him everything. He said, I'll think about it, but you know that I'm not good enough. I said, you're right, but that's not the point. There's some people who are not saved and they know it. Then there's some who are secure, but they don't know it. Listen, I find a lot of people like that. Listen, when I ask it to you this way, doesn't it sound a little funny? Hey, if you trust Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven no matter what. Doesn't that sound a little funny? Because people say, well, wait a minute, no matter what. Now, that leaves a lot open. You trust Christ. And then there's some who are safe, who are secure, and they know it. That's those four levels. Now, what I want for all of you is that if you've put your faith in Christ, I want you to understand your security, and I want you to be assured of it. I don't want you to live in your life up and down. I don't want you to live your life out of fear, trying to hang on. I want you to live your life out of love by what Jesus Christ has done. Now, I know some of you in your brain are saying, you know, this is opposite what I've thought all my life. And some of you, even what we talked about with Tommy a while ago, you're going to say, no, I think you can quit believing. I don't see how. If you can quit believing, you can go to heaven. I'll show you in just a second. In fact, in 2 weeks, either next week or the week after that, probably next week, I'm going to try to get through this whole thing in 2 weeks so you won't miss any for spring break. But I want you to see that even if you quit believing, it's not based on your faithfulness. You're still going to heaven because God made you a promise. And God, who cannot lie, promised you eternal life. Let's move to the next section, okay? This is where I want to get at, and I hope we have some input on this. We're looking at issues in the assurance and the security aspect of it. And there are two things we're going to talk about, eternal life and grace and works contrasted. Now this, whether you realize it or not, this gets down to right where it is. This is where it stands. Now let me ask you something. When he says, if you put your faith in Jesus, what do you have? If you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, what do you have? Eternal life. How long does that last? Forever. Okay, that's eternal life. He's giving you a life that lasts forever. Now, if you said, you can lose that, what are you saying? That it wasn't really what? Eternal life. I mean, it can't be. It's either going on forever or it's not. Now, God says, I so love the world, I gave my only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have life till they quit believing. Life till they blow it. Life until they don't live the way they ought to live. Life until I just, I let them drop off the edge. I forgot about them. No. He says, I give unto them eternal life. Now, it's either eternal life or it's not. If a person says it can end, they're not understanding the term eternal life. He uses other terms. He uses everlasting life. It's the Hebrew word aeon. It means to go on and on and on and on and on. Sometimes that's the same word when it goes forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's the words that it's using, going on and on and on. If it could end, then we couldn't use the term eternal. So when I've talked to people and I say, listen, what do you get when you trust Christ? They say eternal life. I said, can you lose that? They said, yeah. I said, well, then it's not eternal life. Oh, yeah, it is. I said, well, how can you lose it? Well, you just can. Well, the truth is that's illogical. Either it's eternal life and it's going to go forever, or God didn't give you eternal life. And isn't it great to know that this Titus chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God who cannot lie promised eternal life. That's what the verse says. That's a great one. Write that one down. Boy, that's a good one. They won't ever lose that one. That is super. Anybody know John 10:28? 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them. He's greater than all. Nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why? By my Father, we're what? We're one. What does he give you? Eternal life. And you shall never perish. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to give you life. Now, you could get out of this thing. You could blow it. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not wish it, not say, gosh, I hope I'm having it. He said, no, that you can know. You can be assured that you are secure. But let me ask you something. When the Bible says eternal life, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means live forever. Now, if a person tells you, but you can lose that, do they understand the term eternal life? Let's get to the second part, and this is probably the key to trying to put this together, and that is either, and we're looking at the contrast between works and grace, either salvation is by grace or salvation is by works. If you have to do anything, and when I say do anything, that means even keep believing. That means even keep hanging in there. That means don't get too far away from God. If you have to do anything for it, it is not grace. It is works. They cannot go together. The Bible teaches that we're saved by grace through faith. It is not works. All salvation is of God. It is His grace and mercy that He saves us. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. You don't deserve salvation. You deserve separation. And the grace of God is you get the salvation you didn't deserve, and the mercy of God is you're not separated, which you did deserve. That's an incredible message. I want you to think about something. Here's God. In His great love and majesty and power, He creates people. And He loves them. And He says, okay, be fruitful. Fill the earth. Have a great time. And they rebel. And God says, that's it. No. He says, I love them, that I want them with me. And they're not good enough. In fact, no matter what stipulations I set down for them, they'll never do it, because the righteousness of man is what? Filthy rags. I mean, they just bring a wheelbarrow of that filthy rag junk up to me, and that's not going to do it. Because I'm God, and I'm perfect, and I'm righteous, and I'm just, and I can't overlook their sin, but I can deal with their sin. And so I'm going to send my Son, who's going to go down to the earth. He's going to become just like they are. He's going to take on flesh and blood, and He's going to leave the glories of heaven, and then He's going to die for them, taking the sin on Himself, because He's going to be the perfect man to die for man's sins. He's going to take all the sin on Himself, pay for that, be buried, rise again, and come back up here with me. Now, what am I going to require of them? Guess what? Nothing. They don't have to do anything. I'm going to give them the gift. Now, whether they take the gift or not, it's up to them. We'll talk more about that someday if we get into election and predestination. But anyway, we won't talk about that today. But anyway, He says, here's the gift. And if you take it, you have eternal life. If you reject it, you have the second death. Now, it's grace. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. For by grace we have been saved through faith. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it is His mercy that He saves us. I want you to look at Romans chapter 11. You're probably in Romans 8. Look at Romans chapter 11. I want you to realize that you can't have grace and works at the same time. You can't have you doing something to get to God and Him calling it grace at the same time. Romans chapter 11 verse 6 says, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If it's grace, it can't be works. If it's works, it can't be grace. They cannot go together. If you have to keep hanging on, if you have to keep that first bell, if you have to keep doing something, then it is not grace. It is works. You've heard me say this. I want to say this one time. I'll just get it off my chest, get it out of my system. You've heard guys stand up in front of people and they'll say, it is the grace of God that saves you this morning. I want you to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's all grace, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to repent of all your sins. I want you to give your life to Jesus. I want to walk down this aisle. I want you to be baptized in just a few minutes, and if you'll do all of that, God will save you. It's grace, of course. That's not grace at all. That's four different things He's asking them to do. Turn away from sin is what He means by repent, and it's impossible. You sin now, right? You didn't turn away from your sin. Of course, repent doesn't mean turn away from sin anyway, but that's what He uses it for. Walking down an aisle, getting baptized, asking Jesus into your heart, giving your life to Jesus, all these things, that's all works. Either you believe Jesus died for you or you don't. It's just that simple. Either it's by grace through faith or it's some type of works, because you can't have grace and works at the same time. They don't go together. Look at Romans. Go back to Romans chapter 4. I want you to see something. Romans 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work, you don't do anything, but believes in the one who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. He said, if you don't work, but believe, you have eternal life. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. What does Romans 6, 23 say? The wages of sin is but. What is it? Gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. You can't do anything for it. I'm going to give you a point, and I want you to understand this. When you have people understand grace, and I'm going to say it to you this way, if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, trusting in Him and Him alone, taking the gift of eternal life, you are secure and saved forever. Whether you ever serve Him or not, whether you ever live for Him or not, in any way, shape, or form, you are saved. You believe that? I hope you do. Let me tell you what the natural thought is. If you actually believe that, if you actually understand what the grace of God is, your thought will be, why don't I just live any way I want to? In fact, you're telling me I can live any way I want to as a Christian and still go to heaven. Is that true? Huh? Yes, it is true. If you understand the grace of God, you'll understand that you can live any way you want to as a Christian and still go to heaven. And you know why? Because of the grace of God. That He gives salvation is not based on your lifestyle, either before or after. Now, Paul dealt with the same problem. If you remember Romans chapter 6, up until that time, he talked about we've all sinned, justified by grace through Christ. We've justified. We have peace with God. And then he got to chapter 6 and he said, well, what shall we say? Shall we keep on sinning that grace may abound? Yeah, God forbid, no. Listen, can we keep on sinning? Because listen, if God's grace covers all sin, the more sin you have, the more it makes God look good. That's exactly the question Paul raised in Romans chapter 6 about verses 1 through 15. Shall we continue in sin so grace can just keep piling up and it makes God look good? And Paul said, no, you don't do that. And then they asked the same question a little bit later on about verse 14. He says, well, can we keep on sinning? Can we just sin even one time and make God look good? The point is, no, you don't live that way. Now, the question, if you understand that you can live that way, you understand grace. Now, the point is, you're not to live that way. You can live that way, but you're not to. Now, I know I get off on this, but you guys have got to understand this because it makes all the difference in the world. I have people talking to me about grace all the time, and yet their message is a work message. When you get to the point where you realize that it makes no difference how you live before or after you're saved, you understand the grace of God for salvation. Now, we're not even talking about Christian life. There's a certain way you are to live as a believer. It has nothing to do with your security or your salvation. So get to the point where you realize nothing you do before and nothing you do after will have any bearing on your salvation. That has a big bearing on how you live the Christian life and what rewards you're going to have and how your testimony is going to be and all that, but it has no bearing on your salvation. That make sense? Questions, comments? Yeah, Anthony. Yeah, the Ephesians passage? Or is that the Philippians passage? Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll address it real quickly. When he says work out your own salvation, he doesn't say work for your salvation. He's talking to believers and he's saying the salvation that you are, the person that you are as a believer, work that out in your own life with fear and trembling. Meaning that you've got your, in fact, that whole context of the Philippians passage is that you're a representative of God. And so let what's in you, the fact that you're a new creation, a new person, let that be worked out in your life where people can see that. He's not saying work for your own salvation, but work out. In fact, it's one Greek word put together, has the idea of let it to be manifested from the inside out. I hope that helps, because that's a good verse that I've had people come up to me and say, you're supposed to work for your salvation. Look what it says, work out, work for your own salvation. I said, no, read it carefully. Oh, work out your own salvation, not work for. Good stuff, though. Okay, now, I want you to think of something. It's either grace or it's works. It's either something you do, keep doing, keep hanging in there, or it's something that God has done and done for you. Make sense? I mean, that's the way it is, y'all. Now, look at it carefully. Dig it. Dig it yourself. Say, okay, I'm going to show JB's wrong. Please. If I'm wrong, I don't need to know. I've dug this for a while. Well, we've seen, I think that's the bell. Okay, wait a second. Let me give you three things, four things. Think about this. Here's the first one. Do you realize the people you're going to come in contact with, and even the people in this room are on different levels? There are some people you're going to come in contact with, think they're saved and they're not, because they're trusting in something other than Christ. There are going to be people who are not saved and know they're not saved. There are going to be people who are saved and don't think they are, or thinking they could lose it. And then there's going to be some that you're going to run into, maybe you, that know that you are saved and know you're saved. So there's different levels. The second is, I want you to understand that what you believe about how you're assured concerning your security will affect the way you live. You'll either be stable or not. You'll either serve out of love or not. You could be serving out of fear. I know a lot of people. I had a guy that told me, he says, you know, I trusted Jesus, but listen, I'm making sure I'm getting baptized. I'm making sure I'm doing the fun things, because see, I don't want to take any chances. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. Listen, I told you the truth. I knew one of my professors at seminary went to South America. I found a lady who had been on a missionary for 54 years. You've heard me tell this story. 54 years. And when he talked to her, she said, he talked to her about something behind the grace of God and how God was so gracious. And she said, let me tell you one thing. I didn't put these 54 years in here for nothing. If God didn't take me to heaven because of what I've done, then I'm going to be upset about it. A missionary for 54 years, and she thinks that's going to get her to heaven, and it will not. They call me Lord, Lord, but I said, I don't even know you. Third thing, what does eternal life mean to you? Can you explain to somebody what it means? How long does it go? And the fourth thing is, make sure you proclaim a message of grace. Don't add works. You've got to be careful. You've got to say it right. That's one of the reasons I'm very careful on how I present it, because you've got to be careful. You don't want to say it's the grace of God. Now be willing to do the following things. By grace, you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift. Okay, any questions, anything? Okay, get your questions ready, because it's time to close up, and then we'll get them for next time. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the study so far. And Lord, may we understand your grace. But we understand it's either what we do or what you do. And we thank you, Lord, that it is all what you do and that our works are just filthy rags anyway. I'm so glad that it is your grace to us. Lord, we thank you that eternal life means eternal and it can never end. And we thank you that you give us eternal life and we shall never perish. Lord, may we be faithful to clearly share the message, being secure and being assured of our securance, assured of our security, so that we will serve you not out of fear, but out of love. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.